Hey everybody, this is Justin Michael Williams with a quick announcement before we start our episode. So many of you know that last year, I signed a book deal to write the first ever meditation book written specifically for us. And this book is for the movement. This book is for the people, my people. And in the era of Me Too and the resistance and Black Lives Matter and a historic election, we have to ask ourselves, how the hell do we even keep our minds calm in the midst of all this craziness? How does something like meditation actually help us find our purpose? How does it help us get shit done? How does it help us step into the lives we know we were all born to live? And look, if you grew up in the struggle, facing things like homophobia or sexism or trauma or toxic masculinity or racism or social injustice or poverty or depression or shame, if you grew up facing any of that stuff, you need a different type of meditation, one that doesn't pretend that your struggle doesn't exist. So I'm gonna warn you, this ain't your mama's meditation book. This is Stay Woke, a meditation guide for the rest of us. And it is available for pre-order now. All you have to do if you wanna join in on this movement is go to staywokegiveback.com to pre-order the book, or you can just search for Justin Michael Williams, Stay Woke, at any of your favorite booksellers. I love you, I thank you, I honor you, and remember, we rise together. Hey everybody, this is Justin Michael Williams with Motivation for Black People, giving you trusted guidance to make your life better. And this episode, y'all saw the title, this is a big one. This is about toxic thoughts, stopping self-criticism, stopping that negative inner voice that's in our heads that stops us most from stepping towards our visions and stepping towards our goals. And I dove super, super deep into this topic on our masterclass call, the Love Your Life Masterclass call, just this past week. And the session went so deep that I felt it would literally be rude and a disservice if I did not share it with all of you here today. And so in this episode, I'm going to play for you actually what we learned on the masterclass that will help you learn how to stop that self-criticism. And look, it's not about like affirmations like, I am beautiful, I am beautiful. That shit don't work. That's like a band-aid on top of stuff that literally, if you've done any of that, you know that it doesn't work long term. I'm talking about these deep thoughts that are rooted deep within that make us sabotage ourselves without even knowing it, that make us stop ourselves, that make us procrastinate, that make us push our dreams aside. This is what we have to get past this year. And this year, more than ever, 2020, we are being called the woke people, the conscious people, the spiritual people, those of us who are stepping up to the plate. We're being called to step forward. We are being called forward to step into our passions and step into our purpose, and not just for the sake of ourselves, but for the sake of our families, for the community, for the planet, and for the world. This is our moment, y'all. This is our time. And I really hope that this audio from the Love Your Life Masterclass helps you in the way that it's helped me. And if you want to join in on these masterclass calls, we actually have one more call left if you're listening to this live, but you can also get access to all four recordings in the series totally for free. All you have to do if you want to get access to these calls is go to this website, staywokefreegift.com. That's staywokefreegift.com. And all that I ask people to do is to donate to this charity, to this foundation that's helping us empower and bring mindfulness and wellness and practices of personal growth to underprivileged and minority youth of color all around the world. And all you have to do is donate anything. You can donate $5, $8, shit, $1 million if you want to, but any amount, large or small, and you get access to this entire masterclass, all the recordings, or you can join in live no matter when you're listening to this, anytime during the year or in the future. So without further ado, this is our masterclass on how to stop the self-sabotaging inner voice, that inner critic, and stop negative toxic thoughts. Enjoy. Hey everybody, this is Justin Michael Williams, and I'm so excited and so honored to
have you guys here for week three of our Love Your Life Masterclass. Before I started the recording, I just went through and like individually did kind of a roll call with everybody who was here live. And it was just amazing hearing people from all over the country chime in. And so if you're listening to this recording and you weren't able to make it live, know that we're holding you in our hearts and holding you in this space. And we're going to go through a lesson today that can sometimes be a little triggering for people. So I'm just gonna call that out in the beginning. And interesting, I actually am trying to stop using the word triggering. I'm gonna share a reason with you guys. Many of you guys know if you saw my social media last month, I went and taught to a group of women in Southside Chicago, a group of mothers who all lost a child, mostly their sons, to gun violence. And so it was interesting because when I was getting prepped to go in and teach to this specific of a group, I was told to make sure I didn't use the word triggered, to say that like, oh, this triggered me or this triggered me, because that could actually activate them. The word they told us to use is activate. And there were a couple other ones, but because of the people who were being lost, you know, their kids were lost from gun violence. So I've been trying to delete that from my vocabulary, but it's just so interesting to see all these different words coming up. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with those of you who are trying to, you know, use your language to the best of your ability. But in all cases, this session today that we're talking about with toxic thoughts is really important. Toxic habits, which we covered in week two, is one of the things that's a little bit more practical and tactical. Like we can just see it. It's a little bit more obvious. But our toxic thoughts really sneak in from the background. And one of the things that I noticed in a lot of the questions that were coming into me through the text messaging platform and all the different people who were writing in and emailing me, a lot of you, even when your toxic habits, were kind of confusing them with toxic thoughts. And so I want to start by differentiating the two, and then we're going to go into the teaching on toxic thoughts, and I'm going to give you guys an assignment. So what I want to do in the beginning, this was something I was just at my publisher's offices in Colorado for the last week. And one of the things that I found so fascinating that they do at the beginning of every meeting, it doesn't matter if it's a phone call or teleconference or in-person meeting or a Zoom, they do what's called take a minute. And it's really cool. They ring this little bell like a singing bowl, and then they take 1 minute to just center themselves, to just be present, to just stop any distractions that are going on around them, because sometimes we're often like running from thing to thing to thing to thing, and we don't fully arrive in the moment. And I was so impacted by the difference it made to have a minute, just 60 seconds, to bring myself fully into the moment, to consciously bring my breath and my awareness into the moment without any guidance, just to arrive. So what I actually want to do right now is that exact same thing. No matter where you are, if you're listening to us live right now, or if you're listening to the recording, I'm going to give us 60 seconds, okay? And we are going to take 60 seconds to just, if you feel comfortable closing your eyes if you can, to just let go of whatever's been going on in your day right now, to fully arrive in this moment so that you can receive everything that it is that you have been wanting to receive. And I don't have a chime in front of me right now, but I do have a guitar. So I'm going to strum the guitar at the beginning, and I'll strum the guitar at the end of the 60 seconds. And just for these 60 seconds, your only job, it's really not big, your only job is to just allow yourself to settle. Allow yourself to just arrive, even 5% more ease, 5% more relaxation in your being so that you can fully be here. So our 60 seconds starts now. So that's our 60 seconds. So come on back, and then we are going to get into, and I'm not going to sit here and keep playing this guitar, but we are going to come back into the session. So that's 60 seconds, you guys, and just notice the impact that makes. Just give yourself 1 minute. So I stole that, or took that really from my publisher, It Sounds True, and they do that before every meeting, so I'm going to start doing that as well. So let's jump in to our session, and I want to start by talking about the difference between a toxic habit and a toxic thought, because we focused on toxic habits last week, and a lot of you guys wrote to me with your things that you were giving up, and a lot of the things that you were giving up were toxic thoughts, so I don't want you to feel confused when we go into this week. So a toxic habit is something that you do regularly, okay, like in your life, in your physical world, that is having a negative impact on you reaching your goals as quickly and efficiently as you possibly can. And of course, we are talking about goals based upon the goals that we set and the mission and the milestones that we set that are all coming from the vision that you set and created for your life. And so the habit, the difference between a habit and a thought is a habit is an action, something that you're doing, okay? And a thought is just something that you are thinking that is affecting what you do. So for example, a toxic habit could be, you know, scrolling through social media or scrolling through hookup apps or dating apps or drinking too much or eating unhealthy or, you know, whatever. And then the thoughts that could be associated with those things that are toxic thoughts are things like, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I'm too old, I'm too poor, I whatever. And so these are the thoughts that create kind of the belief systems that our actions then come from. And that's why I'm separating these two things. I know there were a couple of you who wrote into me with things that you were giving up, like thinking negatively about this or whatever. And sometimes those are toxic thoughts. And so if you feel like you don't have a habit that you want to give up, that's fine. But most of us have something that we could harness a little bit more deeply. And I want to just make sure that I'm distinguishing between those things before we move on and jump into thoughts. And if you want to change your habit, and you've already started, that's okay. Remember, just change it and everything's all good. These are all just, you know, experiments that we're doing with ourselves. And if you guys have any questions about that, I'll open up for Q&A in a moment and we can jump into it. Or if you have a specific question about the difference between with toxic habits and you want to ask it now, just push *6 and I'll be able to pull you on the line. But I think it should become a little bit more clear once I kind of go over our toxic thought section. So diving in here, I really, in my book, I call this section healing from toxic thoughts, because, you know, where toxic habits is something we kind of like break away from or we break free from, I really feel like toxic thoughts is not just about, oh, let me give up thinking about this thing, because it's not that easy. It's easy to say, oh, I'm going to give up, you know, drinking alcohol, but it's not easy to say I'm going to give up thinking about alcohol, you know, because your thoughts are coming in from a much deeper place. And, you know, the actions come from the thoughts, but where do the thoughts come from? I want you to really pay attention to what I'm saying, because we're going from the external to deeper and deeper internal. Our actions, if our actions are coming from our thoughts, then where do our thoughts come from? And we have to go one layer deeper to kind of heal what's on the surface level above. And so this is why I call this section healing from your toxic thoughts. And some of the toxic thoughts that, you know, people say all the time, and I mentioned them just a moment ago, is I'm not good enough, or I'll do it once I lose this weight, or oh my God, my parents would totally freak out if I did that, or I wish I would have started when I was younger. If I was younger, I would do that, but now I'm too old. Or this is a big one for a lot of people with imposter syndrome, like I'm a fraud. Who am I to be able to do that? This is one that I hear a lot of people say all the time in my classes. People think I have my shit together, but really I'm a mess. And it's just interesting. Like, you may be a hot mess sometimes, but these thoughts are significant because it makes us feel like we're the only ones, or that we're alone, or we're less than, or we're not good enough. One toxic thought that I've had in the past, and still have every once in a while is that, like, oh, why am I so bad with money? I'm bad with money. And these thoughts create, they are part of creating the actions that we take, and then those actions create our reality. So we want to heal some of these toxic thoughts that are out of alignment with who we want to become. So those are some of the most common toxic thoughts I hear from people. And just to be clear, toxic thoughts, the way I define these, are they are the limiting beliefs and mind loops that make us second guess ourselves. And if we gloss over and just kind of taper over these thoughts with positivity or, you know, these fake affirmations or whatever, then what happens is these thoughts will start to ruin your life without you even noticing it because you're turning away from them. But when you become aware of your toxic thoughts, when you really bring awareness to them, you start to catch your thoughts before they influence your actions. So this is probably one of the most important things that I'm going to say right now, because the reason we're focusing on these toxic thoughts is because they start to influence our actions. And if we don't think we're enough, if we don't think we're worthy, if we think we're too old, or we think we have to wait until this perfect future to get into a relationship, or wait until we have our life all together to find a partner, or wait until we lose weight to go do XYZ, then the thoughts are actually keeping us from taking the actions that we need to take that would keep us toward our vision. And in that way, it's kind of this combination with fear and resistance and dissuasion, which I think you guys will remember me talking about in week one, if you listen to that. And, you know, here's an important thing. A lot of times people, when I'm talking about this, and the reason I said this is a deep week is because we all have toxic thoughts, all of us. Me, every mentor I've ever had, I don't care how spiritual or evolved you get, you're going to have these thoughts. So you can't be mad at yourself as you identify yours, all right? And one of the things that I always like to do with you guys to illustrate is tell you, you know, my personal story, because I feel like that helps, you know, to just show you that even though I'm writing a book about this shit and talking about this, that all of us still have this. And then I'm going to give you some examples of some other ones so you can start to recognize your own. And we'll have your action item for the week, which is a lot deeper than we've done in the last week. So the toxic thought that's really negatively impacted my life the most, I would say, is the thought that I've had that my voice isn't good enough. And I know that this might come as a surprise to a lot of you, since I've literally built my entire career around my voice, but it wasn't always that way. And that's because the attack on my voice started at a super young age. And it started really as soon as I started school, because it became painfully obvious at school that something was different about me. Something was different about the way I spoke. Apparently, you know, at school, even though I didn't know what it was, I talked like a fag, even though I didn't know what the hell a fag was when I was 8 years old. And I just knew, though, based on however it was that I was talking, that I needed to talk differently so I could avoid getting teased and avoid people jumping out of trees and trying to beat me up. And, you know, I mean, God, like when I was in elementary school, particularly in when I moved to public school, my mom will remember this. We used to live literally like across the street from the elementary school. When I say across the street, I mean like you could see the driveway of our house from the playground. Like you could just look straight at it from the playground. And my grandpa used to, my papa, we call him, like he used to drive to the front of the school and pick me up in his truck. He would wait for me. He would be there early, wait for me in his truck and drive me home, because I would be getting like teased and bullied and, you know, so badly. And, you know, that's how deep that was. And, you know, the thing was, is no matter what I did, no matter how much I tried to make my voice deeper, do whatever it was, I never got good enough at faking it. And so the teasing and ridicule really like continued through high school. So I want to give you guys a picture of an elementary school scene that I think is the most pivotal and one of the first memories I have of this. I think there are memories that come before, but I blocked most of those out, I think, unfortunately, so I don't know them. But this is one of the first memories that I have of this that's the most important. And the reason I'm sharing this is because often the toxic thought that you have is going to be related to a story of something that you dealt with when you were younger. Remember, on week one, we talked about fear and echoes of fear. These are oftentimes the echoes of fear that are coming back and affecting our lives now and causing us to run an outdated script that doesn't belong. So this is why we look at the past. The reason why we look at the past and we look at what happened to us is not to go, oh, poor me, this is what happened to me. Like, I'm so be sorry for me, this is what happened. That's not what it's about. We only look at the past so that we can see how the past is affecting us now and affecting our present and affecting our future, so that we can make choices that are based on the here now reality, not based on this outdated running script that are showing up as toxic thoughts in our head. So I want you to picture this. It was a Wednesday afternoon, and I was standing in choir rehearsal with my whole second grade class. And in this particular class, we were getting ready to do like the recital. And this was when, you know, like all elementary schools had music, right? And which I can't believe a lot of them don't have anymore, but you know, you would go to choir once a week with your whole class or something like that. And we were prepping for this recital, and our instructor, her name was Miss Bryant, she was looking for someone to sing a solo part to this big song that was out back then. And I'm not even going to say the song or the artist because I don't support him at all anymore. But she was looking for someone to sing the solo. And so she asked for a volunteer, and I immediately, just like right away, I shot my arm up into the air, and I was super excited because I loved singing so much that I would always spend like every day after school at home with the door closed, like with tapes, like fast forwarding and rewinding and practicing all these songs to like Brandy. And, you know, I used to love singing Sitting Up in My Room with Brandy and the Mariah Carey album. And I was just always practicing and doing all of this. So I knew that this was finally a moment in school that I'd be able to shine. This was a moment that I would finally be praised for my voice instead of being teased about it. And so there I was, standing on the choir stand, surrounded by the entire class, of course, including some of the most cruel bullies in the entire school. And for the first time ever, I sang to them on my own. And as soon as I opened my mouth, the bullies started going crazy. They started laughing and jumping off the choir stand, and they started flicking my ears from behind. And because obviously the bullies are like the cool kids when you're in second grade and they control everything, the rest of the class started teasing and laughing and yelling, and the laughter just kind of like echoed all throughout the room. And I was just kind of standing there totally in shock, just trembling, but I didn't want to cry because that would make it worse, because of course only faggots cry, and the teacher didn't know what to do because, you know, the kids are going crazy. And it was in that moment right then that I remember shutting down my voice. I knew right then, at 8 years old, sitting there staring at my feet while the entire class mocked me and the teacher did nothing about it, that something I loved so much, something that brought me so much joy and was so authentic to me, was simply not good enough. And it was more than not good enough. It was something that I should be embarrassed about. And so that's where that toxic inner voice of my voice isn't good enough began. And when I shut down my voice, it was more than just my voice as a singer. It was shutting down my authenticity. And I ended up spending my whole childhood, literally my whole childhood, trying to pretend to be one of the boys, trying to meticulously monitor how I walked and how I ate and who I hung out with and how high my voice was and if my wrist was folded or not and if I was switching my hips too much or not. And, you know, this story has such a profound impact on my life, because even now I remember I was in dance class and the teacher, I was taking a private dance class, and the teacher was like, I need you to be bigger. We were doing like a Vogue thing. And he was like, I need you to flip your wrists. I need you to flip your hips. I need you to be bigger. And it was like, I couldn't do it. Like, I literally couldn't do it because I had trained myself to not move that way, because if I moved that way, it would be dangerous. And so, you know, by now, listening to the story, you're probably starting to think of a moment of your own, a time when you maybe allowed someone to put a cap on your potential, or when you had somebody limit your power or made you believe that your dreams, the dreams that were inside of you and who you were, was better suited for somebody else. And that's because our toxic thoughts, these thoughts, they often originate from some kind of a trauma in our early life. And as a kid, trauma, like that moment on the choir stand, that is like a trauma. That's a major trauma. It doesn't have to be these things of like, oh, I got whooped so bad, or I got beat up, or I had, you know, whatever, even though those traumas are very relevant as well. But these little moments of embarrassment or shame in particular really is where a lot of our toxic voices begin. And, you know, although this is the big thing about why we go back to the past, although a lot of the traumas that we're talking about and the situations that we're talking about are non-existent in our current life, what we start to do is we start to internalize those voices and we start to oppress ourselves. We run this outdated script that was really never ours to begin with in the first place. And so that's like the example that I just talked about with the dance instructor. Like, I literally am in my house alone having a private dance lesson, and he's teaching me how to Vogue, which is like probably the most feminine form of dance you could possibly do. And I was like going to cry because I couldn't do it. The voice in my head, it was like I could hear my stepdad. I could hear the kids at school. I could hear those voices, but they weren't their voices. They were mine now that I took on, saying, you look gay. You look like a fag. You're doing too much. Even though I was in a dance class, putting on a character. And that's like a meaningless example, being in a dance class. It shows up in so many other places in our lives as well. And so here's the thing. Many self-help gurus, okay, and especially if you're on Instagram and all this stuff, are going to tell you that the way to get rid of your toxic thoughts is by drowning them out with, like, positive affirmations. And I don't know about y'all, but that shit don't work for me, okay? Like, I can only stand in the mirror and say, I am beautiful, I am beautiful, I am beautiful so many times before you get bored. And here's the thing. I believe that affirmations can work. I'm not saying they're useless. I'm not saying that there's no purpose for them, but they're more of a Band-Aid. What we have to do to really get rid of our toxic thoughts is we have to turn toward them. We have to turn toward them instead of trying to drown them out. So I know that might sound crazy because it's like, okay, why would I want to turn toward my toxic thoughts? Why would I want to feed it more energy? But I want you to follow me on this one. So when a toxic voice comes up, like, my voice sucks, or I'm too feminine, or I'm not good enough, or whatever it is, you have a choice. You either get to let it berate you and then you become paralyzed by it, or your other choice is you learn why you've held on to this voice in the first place. And ignoring it's not an option, because ignoring it and pretend it doesn't exist is that's the whole issue. That's the reason we're having this conversation. When we ignore it, it doesn't heal. It just goes, okay, I'm just going to sneak into the background and just keep controlling shit from back here, right? And it's controlling our lives from the shadows without us even knowing it. And so we want to learn why we've held on to these toxic thoughts in the first place. We do not get rid of our toxic thoughts by sweeping them under the rug. We get rid of them by healing them at the root of where it comes from and then taking an action, a brave action. You guys know I'm all about action. To prove our toxic thoughts wrong. And this gives us this ability to take action. It gives us a chance to take responsibility instead of sitting here and being defined by our stories and defined by whatever our minds have invented is true for us. Your toxic thoughts, I want you to hear me when I say this. This is what I'm going to say to you is the most important thing that I can say. Your toxic thoughts are here to teach you something. They are a marker. They are an indicator. They are a flag in the ground that's pointing you in the direction of your healing. It's saying, hey, look over here. This is where you need to grow. This is where you need to heal. This is what you need to focus on in therapy. This is what you need to read about. This is what you need to learn about more. And I know it's not easy, y'all. I know, but you have to turn towards your toxic thoughts and really listen to them with self-compassion, because all the studies, all the data has shown that when we're able to turn towards our toxic thoughts with compassion, that's the only way, it's literally the only way that we can stop letting them run our lives from the background. And I'm actually trying to find this study real here. Yeah, it's by Kristen Neff, who did this incredible scientific study about self-compassion and, you know, getting a healthy concept what is called as an alternative conceptualization of healthy attitude toward oneself. And it was a psychotherapy publication and about self-identity. And when we're able to be compassionate with the fact, like, okay, this happened to me. It's all right. Like, I got you. And it's like I imagine my childhood self, and you can even try this with me right now if you are willing. Like, I imagine my childhood self. So if you want to close your eyes and imagine your childhood self, we did this in the webinar. And just imagine that you are really showing up for them. So you're not fusing with this voice that's afraid, that's scared, but you're really showing up and saying, I got you. You know, I got you. It's going to be okay. I got you. And I remember when I was in therapy, and my therapist first asked me to do this and said, like, can you really show up for that little boy, Justin? And I remember I said, the first thing that I said was like, she told me to say, I got you. So I said, I got you. And then I said, everything's going to be all right. Like, you're good. You're perfect. Everything's going to be all right. And she was like, no, Justin. No, 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 no. She was like, this is what was modeled to you. Everything's going to be okay. You're perfect. And that's why your self-worth is so caught up in what you do. She said, what you need to be telling that little boy is, even if you're not perfect, I love you anyways. Even if you fucked up, I got you. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how you show up. It doesn't matter how you flip your wrist or how high your voice is or whatever. It does not, literally does not matter. I love you and I got you. And I didn't know, I was like, what? Like, I didn't know how to do that. It was amazing to watch that, like, my first instinct to go love on my little boy was to tell him that he was perfect, right? To tell him that everything was okay. No, sometimes things are not okay. But to know that, like, you got yourself, you got you, you know, anyways, is a really, really big deal. And so whenever we catch ourselves in a toxic thought and we catch it running in our minds, and you usually know because it feels like something. It feels like it's like, for me, it feels like this tornado that's kind of starting to swirl in my mind, and my energy starts to feel a little like, well, and I can't see straight, and I'm afraid, and I'm not sure what to do, and I have to call people asking, what should I do? And, you know, that's kind of how you know, because you don't feel grounded and clear in your energy. When you catch those toxic thoughts running in your mind, all you have to do is pause, and then you ask this question: in what area of my life is this thought pointing towards? Where do I need more healing? Where do I need more support? Where do I need more growth? And that answer, the answer to that question, is what's going to take you towards your path to healing. It's what's going to take you to take accountability and responsibility to not be defined by the story, but to say, okay, this is something that's in me, and this is something that I need to heal. And luckily, we live in a time where we have access to and agency to step forward into these things and start to learn and grow. And then, of course, when we try to do that, our fear is going to say, oh, I don't know, or there's too many people here, or this is not for me, or I don't have time, right? So now you guys see I'm weaving this all together, because as soon as you recognize the place that you need to grow, then the fear is going to kick in, because it's like, uh-oh, she's trying to step out of this comfort zone this safety zone that I've had her in for all these years. But it's not a safety zone. It's holding you back. And so as soon as you start to try to do that, your mind's going to try to keep you safe and say, oh, no, you don't have time. You're too busy. So you start procrastinating. You start using all the different forms of fear, the distraction that we talked about before in call number one. And so I want to walk you guys through a little process, and then I'm going to leave some time for Q&A because I know this is a big one. So let me walk you through a process and what we're going to do. I want us for a second here, just together on this call, to take a moment to see if we can identify a toxic thought. And you guys know how important it is for me to make sure that our toxic thoughts, when we're doing these assignments, that they're coming from our heart and not from our heads. And so I'm going to guide us through a very, very short, quick, intentional breathing meditation exercise, and then see if we can name our toxic thoughts. And if you feel comfortable calling it out, because sometimes it feels so good to just name it, then text it to me. You guys have my number. Just text it to me, and we will have that. And if you don't have my phone number, I'll make sure that I give it to you guys at the end of this call so that you can text me directly. So let's go through our centering practice for a moment. So if you're in a place where you can close your eyes, I invite you to do so if you're comfortable. And then place both of your hands over your navel, right over your navel. And just take 5 deep, full breaths on your own. Like deep breaths, 5 of them, counting them in and out. I'm not going to count them for you, just count on your own. Five breaths. And now, I want you to finish this sentence stem. I call this a sentence stem. It's like a Mad Lib. You're going to fill in the blank at the end of this sentence. You're going to fill in the blank. A limiting belief that I have about myself is blank. What is it? A limiting belief that I have about myself is blank. And there may be another angle that you might want to come at this from if you're needing a little support. If you just take the sentence, I'm not blank enough to accomplish my goals and live my vision, what would be in that blank? I'm not blank enough to accomplish my goals and live in my vision. And I'm talking about the big vision that you set for yourself. What is it that you're not, that you, your mind is telling you you're not enough of? Because we get what we are, so we have to step in. I just read this quote on Instagram that said something like, our minds have to step into our new reality before our bodies can. So this is why the thoughts are so important. So if you haven't done so yet, I invite you to just take a deep breath in and out and open your eyes, and then we're going to move on. Okay, so step one is to identify the thoughts, and you may have a few. A lot of people have more than one. And then step two is to examine where the thoughts originated. Did they come from a parent? Did they come from a childhood trauma? Did they come from an ex? And you want to write that down. Okay, don't worry, I'm going to recap these steps at the end. So step one is, what is the thought? Step two is, where did it come from? What's the earliest memory that you can think of where this thought started? And even if it's not the earliest, just the most significant. Okay, because if you're like me and you block shit out, then you may not know the earliest, but you can think of the one that sticks most significantly. And then the third question is to ask yourself, what area of growth are your toxic thoughts pointing towards? So this is really that marker. This is the important part. It's like, what area of your life is this toxic thought indicating that you need more healing or support or growth? So maybe it's that you need to work on your confidence, or maybe it's that you need to work on forgiveness or self-love, or maybe it's you need more discipline, or maybe you need more rehearsal, or maybe whatever it is. In what area of your life is this toxic thought pointing towards? Because it's here to serve a purpose. It's not just here for no reason. It's serving a purpose. And so the purpose is either going to hold you back, or it's going to mark you to where you need to grow. Flip side of the same coin. So that's the third point. And then our fourth question is, what is one action you can take to prove your toxic thought wrong? What's one action you could take to prove it wrong? And this might mean learning something new or committing to a practice, or moving out of your comfort zone. And I want you to remember that even a baby step counts. One of my favorite teachings about comfort zones came from my brother Preston Smiles, who I also interviewed on my podcast. And he said this amazing thing. He said, you know, a lot of people try to step out of their comfort zone and they freak themselves out and they end up not being able to do it because let's say your comfort zone is at a 6. Like, you don't necessarily need to immediately go to a 10, right? Like, if your comfort zone is a 6, then the next thing you need to do is just a 7. And then maybe you do a 7 again. And then you're at a 7. And then you do an 8. And then you do a 9. And then you get to a 10. So many times we feel like we have to blow ourselves out of the water. And that's not actually the most effective way to build our agency so that we feel our comfort zone expand. And sometimes, you know, you just go straight to that 10. But I don't want you to feel like you have to do that. So, for example, if public speaking, which, by the way, public speaking is the most common fear in the world, most common fear in the entire world, more than spiders or dying or airplanes or snakes, it's public speaking. And so if you're afraid of speaking in public and this is part of your vision, right? Remember, if it's not part of your vision, then who cares? You can be scared of it. But if it's part of your vision to be speaking or to be talking in front of groups or to be leading any kind of a movement, then this is a fear that you're going to want to overcome and a toxic thought that you're going to want to overcome. And so to step out of that comfort zone, you may not immediately go and speak in front of a whole audience of people. You may start by raising your hand at work and speaking up in a time that you may not usually because you're afraid. And then you may try giving a presentation in front of a small group of friends. And then you may try maybe going to an open mic or something. And then, you know, so you build on top of it with your comfort zone. And so as we're going through this, and I'm going to recap the steps and give you guys one more example, and then I'll open for Q&A. Is I want you to make sure you're really, 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 really compassionate with yourself as you go through this process because you're not doing it wrong. Your healing is not linear. You're not moving too slowly. I'm going to repeat that. You're not doing it wrong. Your healing is not linear, and you're not moving too slowly. And what I mean by your healing is not linear is like it's not just like I had this toxic thought. Now I noticed it, now I healed it, now it's gone. No, like next time you're in a situation that toxic thought was running, it's going to come up as like a check-in for you to be able to continue and further your healing. So it continues. These things take some time to undo, but the most important step is that we're taking action in the moments where it counts, in the moments where it shows up. It's easy to say I'm confident when you're alone in your room in the mirror, right? It's harder to say I'm confident when you're in that bikini, you know, in front of all your friends at your reunion. So that's like, those are the moments though where it counts and where you get to take an action that pushes you out of your comfort zone to show up differently. And so I'm just, you know, tying this all together how it works. So it's not going to be like, wham, bam, I said an affirmation, it's over. We all know that doesn't work, okay? Just like to keep it real with you guys. So let me share one toxic thought pattern going through this process that I think is what I'm teaching is oftentimes shared by a lot of women who are, especially women who are mothers. So just recapping, our four steps are step one, what is a toxic thought? Step two, where did it originate? And I'll text this to you guys. Step three, in what area of life do you need additional healing support or growth? So that's what is it pointing towards? And step four is what is an action I could take to prove it wrong? So let me give you an example that I used in my book. So let's say the toxic thought, step one, is that I'm not a good enough mom. I'm not a good enough mother. That's a toxic thought. It's one that I hear a lot of time from moms who I'm working with. And then the second step, which is where did it originate, could be, for example, well, I always promised myself that my daughter would never have to grow up like I did. So anytime I yell at her or when I lose my temper or when I lose my cool or I lose my patience, I feel like I'm failing. Okay, so that's where it originated. And then in what area of life do you need additional healing, support, or growth? So I'm gonna go back for one second to this where did it originate because I wanna really make sure you guys understand this. So in this example, where she said, I'm not a good enough mother, and then where did it originate? She said, I always promised myself my daughter would not have to grow up like I did. That's crucial. because this originated in childhood and in the traumas that she had as a kid that then went into her life as an adult that are now making her feel like a bad mother anytime she resembles how she grew up, right? Or anytime anything like that shows up, even though obviously it's not the same. And so then the third question is, in what area of life do you need additional healing or support or growth? What is this pointing towards? So maybe, for example, it could be with this example that you need to learn more ways to manage stress. Because if you're stressed out and you're yelling or losing my cool or losing your temper, then you know there's many techniques and tools, which many of which you could just search on Google or read my book or read anybody's book, really, about how to manage your emotional energy. You know, so this is showing you, okay, I may need to learn some tools on how to manage my stress. So now we're taking this from this, oh, I'm a bad mother, to, oh, I'm someone who has issues with stress, and I can take responsibility and learn to grow in this area. And then what is an action that you can take to prove it wrong is the final step. And this using that same example is, next time I feel like I'm going to snap, I'll step away and use one of the breathing techniques I learned online or in Justin's book, because it's better for me to step away than to react explosively. It's better for me, and it's better for my daughter. So you see that line. She thinks she's not a good enough mom because she's acting similar to the way that her mom was acting, and every time she does that, it makes her feel like she's failing, so it reinforces this idea that she's not a good enough mom. But if we take that same thought and become empowered by it, it's no, it's not that I'm not a good enough mom. I'm just stressed the fuck out. And this is showing me that I need to do something about my stress. And so now what is an action that I could take to help mitigate this? What is something I can do that will implement as a way to just shift the energy in the moments where it's really important? An intervention, if you will. So that's it. And I want to keep it there. There's more that I can share, but I want to keep it there because for those of you who are really doing this work, for those of you who are getting off these calls and either tonight or at some point in your week taking some time to write these down, you know how deep this goes. Even though I'm just giving you four simple steps, I think you all know who've done it, how deep this actually goes when you get past the surface. So I want to leave it there, and I want to open up for Q&A. So if you have any questions about anything that I just said or any comments or anything that you want to mention or anything that's unclear, I invite you to push star six on the line, and then I will see you come up. And please don't be shy. You guys know I love hearing from you. And when we get started here, as we're getting started here with the questions, as I wait for them to come in, I'm just going to do one last recap so you guys can write these down, and I'll also text it to you so that you guys have the toxic thoughts exercise. So step one is to answer the question. First, you close your eyes, take a few breaths, answer the question of what is the toxic thought? I'm not what enough. And it doesn't have to be that sentence, but you can use that. And then step two is to examine where it came from. Step three is to recognize what area of growth is it pointing towards. And step four is to notice what is an action you can take to prove it wrong. What is a step that you can actually take so you can take responsibility to prove it wrong? Those are our four steps. All right. So no one has anything. Was I that clear? I mean, I guess I wrote about it in the book, so hopefully I covered it all. But I would love to hear from you guys, even if you don't have a question, to just hear how this is landing for you. While we have the last couple minutes here on the call. So if you want to make a comment or you want to share anything or you want to ask a question about anything we've covered, please don't be shy. Just push *6 and I'll be able to see you in the dashboard, and then you guys can come on the line to chat with me. *6. Great. Here we go. We have somebody here. Hello, who is this?
Hi, this is Elle.
Hey, Elle, how are you?
Good.
How did this land for you?
This lands very well because I find the four steps to be very actionable and something that I can dive into. But a question that I have will probably be in the area of step three, where we identify where we need to grow in. I feel like I've identified that. I want to grow in self-love and self-compassion, but how do I do that? I mean, I can do affirmations. You know, I can continue my gym regimen. I can continue eating healthy. I can continue, you know, trying to, you know, grow my confidence. But I feel like those things are very surface level. Like, how does the person learn to love themselves beyond just doing surface level things?
That's such a good question. That's such a good question. So especially when it comes to self-love, so there's kind of two things in combination here. And I would be lying to you guys if I didn't tell you that. Like, I have spent a lot of time and a lot of energy in different kinds of ways of healing through therapy and shadow work and different kinds of things to help heal the trauma that started it in the first place. And so sometimes knowing the trauma and what it is that started this, so step two, is enough to go, oh, that's not me. That's actually not mine. But sometimes we need, especially oftentimes when it's about self-love, we need to have a little bit of a deeper dive. And so I would invite you to first, I'm sure you already know, I don't know if you want to share it or not, but to, you know, where this is coming from, and to maybe do a little bit of work with, you know, a professional, or even look up some resources. I'll give you some resources right now, actually, that you might want to use to see if you can heal where this is coming from. Is there anything that you feel comfortable sharing about that? And if the answer is no, don't feel obligated at all.
Sure. So one of the toxic thoughts that I constantly have is that I am overweight. And mm-hmm. the origin of that, where that stems from, is that when I was younger, I was very chubby. And I would, you know, was constantly being made fun of by, you know, members of my family, including members of my immediate family. And as I got into college, you know, I developed eating disorders around my fear of gaining weight.
Yeah.
And that developed into the toxic habit of fat shaming others, you know, making fun of other women who I thought were bigger than me, in order to make myself feel better about the fact that I had this eating disorder and, you know, I was doing all these horrible things to my body just to stay at a certain size, and then fat shaming other Black women because why are they so confident? You know, why do they love themselves? How can they love themselves at that weight? You know, and those are the things that I was constantly thinking about. And even now, having graduated as an adult and recovering from eating disorders, it's still that toxic thought, like, I'm overweight, I'm not doing enough, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm eating too much, you know, I'm not beautiful. Those things are still, that's still coming up within me. So even though I've healed from the eating disorder, I haven't healed from the toxic thought.
Yes, yes. Elle, so first, before I say anything, I want to first thank you for opening up so vulnerably with this group. And also, second, to just honor you for the level of, I think everybody, if we were in a group and you could hear everybody's responses right now, I'm sure everybody would agree, the level of awareness that you have around this is so evolved and so mature around the shaming and other women and what's happening here. And this is amazing. You were on the exact right track. So I just want to honor you for that first. And the second thing that I want to say to you, just deeply from my heart, is first of all, I'm with you. I had an eating disorder in college and have my own reasons for that. And one of the things that I've learned that I think will help you a lot here, and you'll be surprised that I'm sure there are several women on this call and many people listening who might share this with you. It's not that working out or eating healthy or doing all of that is surface and bad. It's where the desire to do that is coming from that needs to shift. So is it, I'm working out because I have something to fix about me that's wrong. I'm working out or I'm eating healthy so that I don't get fat. Or is it, I'm working out and eating healthy because I love myself and I want to take care of myself and I want to stay healthy. And there's this interesting place that it comes from, because oftentimes when you're dealing with an eating issue or you're dealing with the self-love issue or, you know, body dysmorphia or any of these kinds of things that come from the very real reality of you being teased when you were younger, that we're doing all these things so that we can fix something that seems like it's fundamentally flawed within us that needs to be fixed. But the big thing is to recognize that there's nothing that needs to be fixed in you. Nothing needs to be fixed. It doesn't mean that you don't want to grow or get better or change or, you know, live to your best state or ability, but it's that nothing needs to be fixed. It's that I'm doing this because I care about and love myself. And so the two things that I'll suggest, does that make sense? Is that landing with you?
Yes, it is.
And so the two things that I want to suggest to you, because we can go way deep on this right now, and I just thank you again for opening up so vulnerably about this, is number one, the way that you, so first of all, shifting your mindset, like, am I choosing these foods? Am I going to work out because I don't think that I'm good enough and I need to fix something? Or is this in workout that I really enjoy doing so that I can keep myself healthy? And start making your choices based on that versus based on the fixing thing, because the fixing thing is the same thing of your childhood trauma and the people who were teasing you. That's their voices running in your head now, you know, and you're acting based upon that. And the second piece of it is you may want to do a little bit of healing work around the teasing and the stuff that happened to you when you were a child, so you can really dive in and release some of those emotions. There's a book that's, I think, also on audio that's really great by a guy named Robert Augustus Masters. This is somebody who I personally work with for healing. I've gone to groups with him. I've read his book. Like, this is, I'm giving you this, I don't give recommendations lightly, and this is somebody who I trust with my own healing. And he has a book called Bringing Your Shadow Out of the Dark. I think it's called, hold on, Robert Masters Shadow. I'm just Googling it really quick. Out of the Dark, Breaking Free. Yeah, it is called that. Bringing Your Shadow Out of the Dark. Breaking Free from the Hidden Forces That Drive You. And I believe it's on audio and stuff as well. And he has a few audio programs that are really good if you can't work with him in person. He does these great women's groups and stuff like that all over. And then another thing that you might look up is another book that's coming out really soon that will be on audio. It actually comes out next week, and it's called Good Morning, I Love You is the name of the book. And it's fantastic. I got to read the advanced version of the book. It's called Good Morning, I Love You by Shauna Shapiro. That's S-H-A-U-N-A, S-H-A-P-I-R-O. I'll text that to all of you guys as well. So Good Morning, I Love You by Shauna Shapiro. And the subtitle is Mindfulness and Self-Compassion Practices to Rewire Your Brain for Calm, Clarity, and Joy. And it's a fantastic book that gives a ton of little mini practices that are scientifically proven to rewire your brain for self-compassion. So I would start with those two things and then really pay attention to where the intention behind your action is coming from and try to make it come from as loving of a place as possible. So last thing I'll say, because I know I'm going on here, is when you think, like I said, of that childhood self and you're thinking of working out or you're thinking of, you know, what foods you're going to eat or you're thinking of whatever, imagine that it's you as an adult with a little girl, okay, that someone is calling fat, that's looking in the mirror and she thinks she's fat and she has an eating disorder, she has whatever. And you're going to protect her and you're going to say, like, I got you, like, it's good. Like, here's what I want to do as an adult that's going to be fun and empowering and help me exercise and help me feel good in my body so that we can be healthy. Like, you don't have to, little girl, you don't have to do that stuff anymore. Nothing is wrong with you, you know? And so it's really taking it, coming from a different place. Does that all make sense to you, Elle?
Yes, and thank you so much for the book recommendation.
Yeah, absolutely. Was that helpful?
Yes.
Okay, great. If you have any more questions, just text me and I'm happy to talk about it more, okay? Because this is one that's really close to my heart. Thank you. We have a couple more questions, and I just want to note that I know that we're at our time, but I want to stay over for you guys with questions. So if you feel like you have to hang up, you're welcome. I understand. I can see if you need to drop off, don't worry. If you can stay on, we'll be just a couple more minutes. We have two more questions, and I think we're all probably getting a lot out of this. So I'm going to grab the next caller. Hello, who is this?
Hi, this is Mariana.
Hey, Mariana, what's up?
I think that I asked you about this. One of the toxic thoughts that I have is comparing myself with others. I got the first step, which is awareness, but I don't think I think that I have to work on it because it's very personal, as you said. So I don't know where it's coming from, but I don't know if you can say something about
it. Yeah, so the comparison thing, and I know you texted me about this last week. So this is one that the comparison game is one that kind of can mix between toxic habits and toxic thoughts a little bit. Because, for example, if our toxic thought is I'm not good enough of a teacher, or I'm not good enough of a whatever, then when we start to go online and on social media, then we're going to look for things to reinforce that idea, to reinforce this belief that we have, this thought. So then that turns into a toxic habit, and the habit is that we're constantly online trying to compare ourselves to other people. So these two things really intertwine, and a lot of people come up with this one. So here's what I want you to do. Dig one layer deeper, Mariana, than the comparing myself to other people, because that's an action. And go into the thought that comes up when you're comparing yourself to other people. That's the question, is when I'm comparing myself to other people, what is the thought that I'm having? I'm not blank enough, or they are better than me at this. That's where you want to go, and that's going to point you towards the healing.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
Is that enough for you to kind of go on your pathway, or do you want to talk about it more?
No, it's good. I need to work a little bit more. I need to go deeper.
Cool. Yeah, and remember for everybody, this is really important. When we start talking about this, we get into the headspace a lot. Close your eyes. Take some breaths. Drop into your heart. Hand over the navel. The reason I'm putting it over the navel is this is our center of our confidence and our power, our energetic center. And so when we do that and take a moment, then we let it arise from that place, and it takes us a little bit deeper than if we just try to think our way through it, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mariana.
Thank you.
Last question.
Hi, Justin.
Hey.
My name is Dee, and
hey,
Dee. I'm struggling right now with the pain of loneliness. I don't know what my toxic thoughts are, that I'm not good enough to be with someone. I'm also overweight, so I was really glad that you were able to address the girl with the eating disorder. I don't have an eating disorder. I just eat too much. But I'm focusing on working out too. But I'm really a sensitive person, and I'm a big catch. I just don't want to be left alone. Like, I just struggle with feeling sad and, like, abandoned and I don't know what we can do when we're feeling lonely, what we can do to uplift that. I got with people from my Bible study tonight, and they prayed for me, which is really nice.
Yeah, beautiful.
But,
I
don't know what
don't
you do.
Yeah.
You have a methodology to lift yourself out of loneliness.
Yeah, so tell me specifically, can I dig into this a little bit with you? Do you mind?
Sure.
So when you're talking about feeling lonely, Are you particularly like you don't have enough friends around you, or is it true that you don't have a specific romantic partner? Is that where the loneliness is coming from? In which
it's
area is it?
The romantic partner. I have friends from my Bible study that are really great.
Cool.
I just don't feel satisfied. I feel very angry, kind of, and not angry, but like just annoyed and restless and frustrated.
And what actions have you been taking to take the agency to try to go out and date and meet somebody? What actions have you been taking?
I've just been on dating websites. I actually gave them up for my 21-day fast for my church. But
cool.
I was on dating websites.
And
I met
this
guy who's overseas. Yeah, I met this guy a year ago, and he's been overseas for work all year. But he's coming back hopefully in February. And he's a really nice guy, but I haven't met him. So he doesn't feel real yet, and he says he really
right.
likes me, but he hasn't seen how fat I am. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm just really overweight, and I'm, like, taking diet pills, and I'm going to the gym tomorrow to work out with a personal trainer.
Okay,
I'm trying to lose the weight.
Yeah, I got it. So here's what we need to do. So what I'm hearing in what you're saying, like, underneath it all, is that, like, because I'm overweight, I am not worthy of, like, being with somebody is what this sounds like, is what's underneath it. Because, like, if you're saying, like, oh, I have to, and that's okay that you're thinking that. There's no shame around that. Like, it's a common thought, but it's like, I have to take these diet pills, and I have to go to the gym, and I have to go do this. Otherwise, like, when this guy comes, he's not going to actually really want me, right? So there's something about me that I have to hide or that I have to change to be worthy of his love or of love in general. And so what I want you to do, this is what I'm going to give you to do, and I want you to do this on your own because it's, I think, a little too deep for us to do on a public call, is to go back to think about in your childhood, when was the first moment that you can remember thinking, like that you ever remember noticing, I'm embarrassed because I'm fat. I'm embarrassed because I'm overweight. When was the first moment that you have that memory? And that is where we need to start unlocking the healing, because that's what's running the programming right now. And the way that we want to know that this is true, right? This is how we know this is true and as reality, because is it a fact? Like, could you take it to court and say, overweight people are not in good relationships? That's not true, right? There are, like, many people who are overweight who are in incredible relationships. There are many people who are overweight who, like, weren't overweight and then gained a bunch of weight and were in incredible relationships. People who have lost limbs who are in incredible relationships. People who are blind. People who have many different things going on, right? And so it's something about the way that you are viewing yourself, that there is something about being overweight that I need to hide, that's actually making you hide who you really are from people who might want to date you, because you're not showing up as your full self because you feel like you have to hide. Does that make sense? Did I explain that clearly?
Yeah, well, that's true.
So I know this is deep work, and so what I'm going to invite you to do is this. It was D, right? Was your name?
Yep.
So what I want you to do is try to go back to the first one or two memories that you can ever remember as early as you possibly can of the first time you ever felt embarrassed about your weight or for being too fat. Remember how you felt. And then imagine that childhood version of yourself in that time, in that moment. And then I want you to imagine, like, if this really was a kid coming up to you who was feeling embarrassed and ashamed and alone, how would you care for them? And do it. You could say it out loud, be in your room on your own, hug yourself, touch, like, wrap your arms around yourself, close your eyes, and really give that child version of you the love that they need. And then what you want to do is go to the next phase, which is, okay, this is showing, well, really, I think you're ready to go to the step of, like, what is an action that I need to take? And the action that you might take, is that, you know, it's funny that you gave up a dating app when what you really want in your vision is a partner. So that
right.
was, I think, fear sneaking in, right? It's not in alignment. So it's about you going on the dating apps, but doing it and bringing your full self forward and not hiding your weight, not hiding it, being you and knowing that you are worthy of love as you are. That's going to be the next step.
Okay.
I know that's a lot.
Yeah.
But we can talk more about it, okay?
Thanks.
Thank you, Dee. All right, everybody. So we're a little over our time. I just wanted to make sure I spent enough time with all of you guys today because I know this is such a deep topic, and I'm so grateful for those of you guys who opened up and shared with us in the group today. This is real powerful stuff, and it shows us that we're really not alone, right? We're really all dealing with a lot of this kind of stuff, but when we are the ones who are choosing to heal this, we are the ones who are stepping in. So many people are numbing their problems and numbing their issues with so many different things. And this is how it gets passed down from generation to generation and generation. And one of my favorite quotes that I keep seeing right now is, what doesn't heal repeats. And so this work that we're doing on ourselves is work not just for you, but it's for all the future generations and everyone and every lifetime beyond. So I thank you guys. I honor you. I want to make sure that I, for those of you who are coming in new and you maybe haven't listened to the recording, I know there's a lot of brand new people who are coming in, that you have my cell phone number so that you can text me. Please text me. This is how I'm communicating with the group. And everybody knows I've been responding and talking to you guys individually throughout the week. Don't worry, you won't go on any annoying group text line. My number is 925-222-2707. Again, it's 925-222-2707. Please don't share that with anybody. That's just for us. And I love you guys. And next week, we're going to go super deep next week on a brand new topic, and it's our fourth and final week. So I love you. I thank you. I honor you. I'm going to put us off mute really quick so we can all say goodbye. Bye,
everybody.
Bye.
Thank you.
Love y'all. Bye.
Love you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
So that's it. That is our masterclass on toxic thoughts. And so if you felt as deeply as I did about going through this class, I literally, like, as soon as we finished it, I was like, I have to change our podcast schedule and share this with the crew, because I think this is one of the most important things that plagues us all. It's really easy to look at our toxic habits. It's really easy to look at the people around us who are toxic and say, what do we do? But it's harder to look inward and say, what is it that I am doing in my own mind, in my own body, in my own spirit? How am I oppressing myself? Those are things that are harder to look at. And I hope that this episode helped you heal in that way as well. And again, if you want to join in on our masterclasses and even just get the recordings to all of the other calls, you can get access to it for free by simply donating to our cause to bring personal growth and empowerment to youth of color around the world. You can donate any amount, large or small. And all you have to do is go to the website, staywokefreegift.com. And you just follow the two steps that are there. It's super simple. And you get instant access to all of our calls right away. I love you. I thank you. I honor you. This has been Justin Michael Williams, and I will talk to you on the next podcast. Bye for now.